I'm Katie Frankowitz. You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. Chabad is one of several groups that planned public events for Sunday for the first night of Hanukkah to begin the 8-day Jewish holiday. A gunman killed at least 16 people Saturday at a similar event in Australia's Bondi Beach. Events in Oregon are stepping up their security precautions, but all plan to go ahead. Rabbi Maddie Wilhelm of Chabad of Southwest Portland said Oregonians are reeling from what Australian leaders are calling an act of anti-Semitic terrorism on the popular beach.
We have good friends there, and the rabbi who was murdered is a friend of one of the rabbis here, also a friend of ours, has a child who's fighting for their life now. So it's a very small and connected community.
Last year, about 1,000 people gathered in Pioneer Courthouse Square to light a large menorah and eat the traditional latkes. There are grand menorah lightings scheduled around the state in Bend, Ashland, Grants Pass, Gresham, Troutdale, Medford, and Eugene. This year, Hanukkah begins on Sunday and ends on December 22nd. Commercial Dungeness crabbing boats in Oregon began setting their traps this weekend. KLCC's Brian Bayhuth reports from the Newport waterfront.
Commercial Dungeness crabbing boats in Oregon have a 3-day window to set their traps before they can begin their harvest at 9 a.m. on December 16. In past years, crabbers negotiated a base price for crab with processors and distributors before leaving port. But so far this year, the industry has not been able to collectively agree on a price. Poggy Lapham is the captain of the Newport-based Michelle Ann and will be headed out to set traps anyway.
It's a really unfortunate situation we're in with not having an established price. This is something we haven't done in my career. You know, I've been fishing for 20 years. So I guess we're going to try it. And hopefully it works out for us, but there's a lot of reasons why it might not.
Despite his misgivings, Lapham said he's confident that demand for Dungeness crab outstrips supply. He's equally as confident in his ongoing relationship with processors and distributors and the profitability of his business model. I'm Brian Bayhuth in Newport.
Federal immigration officers detained at least one person in Seaside and two people in downtown Astoria Friday morning. In Astoria, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers chased one man down 15th Street. Employees at Blue Scorcher Bakery on the corner of 15th and Duane Street witnessed his arrest. Videos and photos of the incident show officers with their faces covered, putting the man into an unmarked car. The arrests come as Oregon's North Coast has seen increased ICE activity in the last month. ICE officers have detained at least 12 people total in Clatsop County since mid-November. Astoria Police Chief Stacy Kelly said he did not have any information about the two people detained by ICE in Astoria Friday morning. But he said ICE did notify local dispatchers just before they began their operation. The ICE officers also appeared to be wearing identifying gear and using emergency lights on their unmarked vehicles, a change from recent operations in Clatsop County. Trudy Van Dusen-Chitovich of Van Dusen Beverages in Astoria said she never dreamt she would see something like this in the city where she grew up. She was on her way to work when she saw the ICE operation underway in downtown Astoria. She ended up taking a video of ICE officers just after the person they were trying to apprehend, the man later arrested at 15th Street, ran away. The officers left the detained man's car partially in the street and still running on Marine Drive. Van Dusen-Chitovich said it left her shaken.
Just the actions of someone getting taken right in front of your eyes. But then the biggest thing was not getting any response from anyone and just being there for 45 minutes, just a car running in the middle of the street. No one came.
Van Dusen-Chitovich and others at the scene ended up moving the detained man's car out of traffic themselves. You can read a longer version of this story online at kmun.org/news. Seaside police are seeking information about the whereabouts of a Seaside man who is missing after a car crash early Sunday morning. Police say 49-year-old Andrew Paul Sargent of Seaside was a passenger in a car that was found crashed into the garage of a house in the 1600 block of South Franklin Street around 6:03 a.m. Sunday. The vehicle was empty when officers arrived. The person believed to be the driver has been located and taken into custody. Sargent has not been located or heard from since the crash. Police say that due to the nature of the collision and possible injuries, there are concerns for his safety. Seaside Police, in coordination with Clatsop County Sheriff's Office and Cannon Beach Police, have searched the area using dogs and a thermal drone sweep. Anyone with information about Sargent's whereabouts is urged to contact the Seaside Police Department at 503-738-6311.
You're listening to KMUN News. I'm Skylar Butenchin. Warrenton City Commissioners recently approved a 26.3% increase to the city's sanitation rate. The new rates, which will help fund the city's garbage collection, will be implemented on January 1st. For the average residential customer in Warrenton with one weekly pickup, the change will increase the monthly rate from $17.15 to $21.66. Warrenton City Manager Esther Moberg said the sudden increase is necessary because the city had not been gradually increasing its rates over the years. Moberg added that the city will need to conduct a full rate study in 2026 to fully understand the sanitation services' financial situation, and that there may be more rate increases to come in the middle of next year. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com.
Oregon lawmakers will likely consider a proposal to regulate automatic license plate reader technology in the new year. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White reports that could include restrictions on law enforcement sharing data outside Oregon.
Senator Floyd Przanski, a Eugene Democrat, says he's convened a work group that includes the ACLU, anti-surveillance group Eyes Off Eugene, and local law enforcement. Przanski says his goal is to allow police to track groups like the ring that was targeting Asian American business owners in his district without violating individual privacy rights.
It's really important that we, as we do in many, many areas around the criminal justice system, is find that balance of what we believe is appropriate and allowing for that to occur, but ensuring that we have the safeguards and then we have the ability to hold people accountable.
Przanski says next year's short session may mean the new rules get folded into a broader package of legislation. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White reporting.
You're listening to KMUN. More wet weather is on the way. It's atmospheric river round two. The National Weather Service says the next round of rainfall is working its way into western Washington. Meteorologist Dana Felton expects this series of storms to be less severe than what we saw last week.
Not too bad as far as the rain goes. And then we're actually going to get a little bit of a break. Things ease up a bit tonight into Tuesday and then pick up significantly later on Tuesday into Wednesday.
But he says we need to watch out for the winds tonight and tomorrow. Gusts between 45 to 50 miles an hour are predicted.
Normally that would possibly cause some trees to come down, but with the ground so saturated right now, the chances for trees coming down with those kind of wind speeds have increased dramatically.
And that will increase the likelihood of power outages, as well as power lines and trees blocking roadways. Also, by Wednesday, the snow level is expected to drop to 2,500 feet. In Oregon, a wind advisory is in effect through this afternoon for the North and Central Coast Range Mountains. The National Weather Service is calling for south winds 15 to 30 miles per hour, with gusts up to 50 miles per hour expected. Following last week's weather events, most of the focus does remain on Washington State. Officials in the state have estimated that more than 100,000 people were directly affected by last week's record floods, and that's double the amount of property owners who have flood insurance. Aaron Van Tile is with the State Insurance Commissioner's Office. He says property owners are only likely to get coverage if they have specific flood insurance policies that are usually not included in more typical homeowners' insurances.
So I think there's a tendency for people to think that, you know, if they get flooded, maybe it'll only be once. Is insurance really that important? But we're seeing more and more bigger events like this. And so, yeah, it is important. And I feel terrible for people out there right now that don't have it, that need it.
FEMA has approved Governor Bob Ferguson's request for emergency assistance and is helping with things like clearing roads and repairing infrastructure. State officials still need to assess damage from the floods statewide, which could take months before asking the federal government for financial assistance. As the floodwaters recede, communities across Washington are assessing the damage and asking for funding to help prevent their towns from being flooded in the future. In Whatcom County, the Lummi Nation, as well as the towns of Sumas, Nooksack, and Everson, experienced extensive damage from last week's rains. Local leaders met with Senator Maria Cantwell and Congressman Rick Larson on Saturday. These areas had significant flooding 4 years ago. Donnell Tanksley is Whatcom County's sheriff.
I saw some faces that made me sad. And people that were tired. Tired not just for today, not yesterday, day before, but tired of having this happen to them over and over and over again to some degree.
Senator Cantwell says she'll do her part to use this event to get the attention of FEMA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to secure funding.
We don't have time for a 10-year plan. We need a 2-year plan.
Money is needed for engineering projects that will prevent the Nooksack River from overflowing its banks. The Army Corps of Engineers says it was able to reduce flooding on the Skagit River with emergency operations at 2 upstream hydropower dams. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
Big dams have big downsides, like killing salmon or drowning whole valleys, but they also have major upsides, including climate-friendly electricity and flood control. As last week's floodwaters were rising, the Army Corps took over 2 Skagit River dams, the goal holding back water to reduce flooding downstream. As flows surged into Ross Dam's reservoir, engineers turned off the spigot. The dam held back 99% of water flowing into the reservoir. Even that couldn't keep this flood from breaking records. But the Army Corps estimates dam operations were able to shave at least 4 feet off the river's peak height of about 37 feet. They say that reduced the damage to communities downstream. After the flooding risk dropped on Friday, engineers started releasing water to make space in the reservoirs for the next round of flooding. I'm John Ryan reporting.
I'm Skylar Butenchin. This is KMUN. Oregon's economy could use some help. The unemployment rate is steadily ticking up as Oregonians struggle to cover the increasing cost of food, fuel, and housing. But amid the chaos, one business in the state appears to be booming: women's sports. Kyra Buckley has more on how the industry could be the boost the state is looking for.
Months before Oregonians learned that professional women's basketball would be returning to Portland, former WNBA MVPs Diana Taurasi and Nneka Agumike were here for a watch party for the 2024 Women's NCAA Tournament.
The one thing that I've noticed in the Northwest, basketball's in their blood.
I'm really very grateful for a city like Portland. It deserves a team. I expect a team here.
It would take less than a year for the All-Stars prophecy to come true.
Congratulations, and Portland, welcome to the W.
By the time WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert announced a Portland team for the 2026 season, the move felt all but inevitable. The grassroots support for female athletes in high school and college has existed for decades. Oregon's pro soccer team, the Portland Thorns, have won 3 championships in front of record crowds. On the business side, a bar dedicated to women's sports has become internationally famous. This year, the sports bra started expanding in other cities. Now, siblings Lisa Bethal Mirage and Alex Bethal are rekindling the WNBA's Portland fire through their investment firm, Raj Sports. The sister and brother investors already owned Portland's other pro women's team, the Thorns. On a sunny Sunday in November, around 21,000 fans flocked to Providence Park for the Thorns' quarterfinal win. Alexis Lee is president of business operations for the Thorns. Lee says Oregonians show up for their sports and especially support their women athletes, leading to record attendance at Thorns games.
We punch way above our weight, and we consistently do it. It's not a flash in the pan, and it's not, there's not a honeymoon period. Like, it's, we're here to stay, and the community supports it.
It's a welcome, if muted, bump in economic activity in neighborhoods near the park, like the Pearl District and Goose Hollow. But it's consistent. Thorns games averaged more than 18,000 people last season. The ongoing success of the Thorns and the excitement around the Fire come as the city struggles to define itself after the pandemic devastated the downtown economy. Despite those challenges, the Bethals are betting women's sports will keep booming. That's according to Karina LeBlanc. She used to play for the Thorns and now works as an executive for the Bethals. LeBlanc calls Portland the global epicenter of women's sports.
We just saw this as an opportunity to make sure the world knew what we were doing, make the stamp of it so that people understood. Because while you have that limelight, while you have the platform, you have to make sure the world is understanding how great the city is.
LeBlanc acknowledges that the challenges are real. Portland's economy needs a big boost, and professional women's sports are still a relatively young industry. Research shows that only 15% of sports media coverage goes to women. Revenues for women's teams are still much smaller than men's, even if they're rising at a faster pace. But U.S. Senator Ron Wyden says Oregonians are up for the challenge. Wyden pushed for the return of a WNBA team to the state.
I think the potential for women's sports in Oregon is huge. For example, my sense is in the summer of 26, we're going to see folks in Oregon walk down Broadway on Saturday, and they may go to a basketball game and then do it again on Sunday and go to a soccer game.
Wyden says with it comes a modest boost of economic activity. Not enough to dig the city out of its economic rut all on its own, but it might be a spark that could turn into a fire. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
You're listening to KMUN News. If you have a news tip or story idea, get in touch with us. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN News Team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin, news volunteer Sylvia Thorpe, and me, News Director Katie Frankowitz. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening. That's all from us today. This is KMUN.